This is the June 4 edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists for the day include Logan Kimmel. He's at Rochag out of Woodridge, Illinois. Sherman Newland is here from Zahner Ag Hedge. He's in Hudsonville, Illinois. And Shane Holtorf joins us from Logic Ag. He's out of Alta, Iowa. Commodity Week, of course, is a production of Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world, online, on demand, anytime you'd like at willag.org, willag.org. Our theme music, it's written and performed, produced, and courtesy of Logan County, Illinois farmer Tim Gleason. Let's start by getting a list of items to discuss for the day. Logan Kimmel, we'll begin with you. What's on your list?
Yeah, we've undergone a sizable break here in the grain markets. And folks hanging on to the old crop, we're running on a shot clock here. Go through ideas what to do there, and also put together a plan and some targets here on this new crop, corn and bean market. It has a little more time, a little more prone to possible weather this summer. Maybe some more opportunities there, but walking through targets on old and new crop sales.
Sherman Newland from Zahner Ag Hedge.
Yeah, I mean, we've had a heck of a sell-off here in the last, week or 10 days. It's, something that producers don't like to see. So I'm hoping, we can find a low in through here pretty soon. And like Logan said, find some targets to the upside to put some sales in. But, trades are going to start watching weather. We've got the, end of the June, we've got the crop report coming up on acres. So that's going to be discussed going forward. And then, we got to talk about, or the trade's going to be talking about, is China going to come in and buy any of this $17 billion that they'd promised? And those things could give us, a boost back up into the market.
I do want you to put something on your list, Sherman, because you do raise wheat, or at least I think you're still a wheat producer. 12 days in a row down in the market, and I want to know what you think about that hard red winter wheat. Not what you raise, soft red, but I do want to talk to you about that. And Shane Holtorf of Logic Ag in Iowa, what's on your list for the day?
Yeah, it's, as we talked about, the first two guys talked about, it's a little bit depressing to sit here and look at all the red day after day. And so let's hit on some bright spots here about, spurring demand specifically on the crush side and what we've done with bean oil and the potential E15 that's laying out there for the ethanol side.
We will do so. Let's turn our attention, Sherman, back to that 12-day event. It's not for Christmas, that's for sure. And I have to admit, it was Matt Bennett that pointed that out to me on Thursday afternoon. It's been a really rough wheat market. What have you made of that?
It's kind of hard to take, right? But you know how the futures market is. They price something in, and short crop, long tail is the old adage, and it's definitely showed us, up here in this wheat market. I mean, I talked to producers out in western Kansas and eastern Colorado, and I know it's really tough for them because their wheat's been zeroed out. I mean, there's just no wheat out in some of those areas. And we know the hard red winter wheat crop's going to be small. But you got to remember, wheat's grown all over the world. And I think that was it. We priced ourselves out of the market there pretty quick. And the market just turned around, started selling off with everything else. And also with the crude oil market. I mean, wheat had been kind of following crude up on those sharp higher days. And then on the days that were down, it seems to want to follow the crude oil market back down, because wheat was an inflation play, so to speak, for some trade. And, crude oil can start to come back down. Maybe inflation can come back down at some point. So I think the market got a little bit ahead of itself, got a little bit too high, a little bit too frothy. And then you saw, some of the funds take advantage of that, jump back out, and then, started going back in from the short side.
So I want to transition with you real quick and let you get us into the corn and the soybean markets. Did wheat lead this process?
I'm not sure wheat led it, but it didn't help anything because everything, corn and wheat both, just kind of went down hand in hand, it seemed like. And then the day, beans just kind of like, hey, we need to play catch up. I mean, there's some reasons why beans went down today, but beans had to play some catch up here too. But, once the funds start leaning on wheat, it's very trending type market, and they see, more downside potential, at least they did, And yeah, it definitely didn't help anything. Maybe it did lead the way to a certain degree, but hopefully we can find a bottom in everything here pretty soon.
Shane Holtorf, what is your assessment of today's trade, this Thursday loss, particularly in the soybeans, and how it came about?
I mean, I'll be honest with you here. So, I mean, the soybean demand has been really good. As we look at from a bean oil perspective, I think that's what's provided us the floor under this market. And we've been pretty skeptical, or we were pretty skeptical, most of the winter and into the spring about why the bean price was holding in where it was, and attribute that to bean oil, of course. But if you take that away, it doesn't have a lot in its favor. I think we need China to come back to the market, as he had mentioned. But if I sit here and look at it today with the way that these charts are pointed, one could argue that the bleeding is not going to stop quite yet, in my opinion.
Well, I have some follow-up questions, and I'll stay with you for a moment, Shane, on that, because
Okay.
it on the bean oil, it has been lifted, I suppose, by the biomass-based diesel fuel sector, and the
Yep.
RVOs, renewable fuel volume obligations set by United States EPA, the Trump administration going forward. We are going to run at capacity or better. USDA in its May WASDE report looked forward and said, this is what we think the season's average cash price will be, and it was a good one, relatively speaking, not a $12
Right.
cash price by any means. But still, is there hope, do you think, given that I wanted, was the cash price $11 and I'd have to look. Was it 11.40? I'm wondering how much downside you think we have, because you mentioned that, and then how much of a bounce might we get?
I think we're getting close to an area of support here. If I sit here and look, I could make a pretty strong case for 15 to 20 cents down just from a technical perspective. I know that we can make those charts show, what we want them to show. But yeah, like you said, if we go back to that kind of the quote unquote floor of the market provided by bean oil, I mean, we cannot run these crush plants at any higher capacity than we're running today. And I know that we've got a lot more slated to come online throughout the year. But what's interesting to me in our neck of the woods is they're going gangbusters on crushing. But the basis certainly hasn't shown that they're needing to, really, really pay up to get these beans in the cash market. It's, we, there's not a ton of competition out there, I guess. And so earlier in the winter, we railed some beans out locally, which surprised me because we've got a crush plant 4 miles down the road. But even with these elevators cleaning up and railing it out, they're not bidding up. So I think the country is pretty comfortable where they're at, and we're going to rely on the futures market to do the work. So you ask about a little bit of a rebound, Todd, and I think if we're if we're watching the old crop market here, like I said, we probably got the opportunity to see 15, 20 cents down. And then that $12 mark has been a little bit of a magnet. We went up and toyed with that. And if we look through the July, I know where our days are numbered, but that would be what I would target if we would start to see this market move back up.
Logan Kimmel, you mentioned that because of this sizable break, the shot clock is on for old crop, particularly. I wonder what ideas you do have as it's related to soybeans. You can talk about corn too.
Yeah, I think in regards really for both folks down to their last bit, maybe they were hoping for something more or waiting later in the summer for call it gambling bushels. I think you really got to take a look at any sort of bounce we get on these July contracts sooner than later might be wise to price those out, because I think as we are already into June, as we approach the end of summer, naturally there'll be bushels held on to that ultimately seems like it priced at the tail end of summer and all at once when the July contract's coming off the board. it's generally not associated with better prices throughout the year. So I feel on the break we've had, we're getting close to finding some buying, some support, you know, that 425, 424 corn and 1129 beans. So yeah, if we catch a few days here where you do get some buying setting in, and maybe you do see a little pop, I think you got to be realistic though what to expect and have orders in to get the rest of your old crop price. The narrative certainly has flipped here since the middle of May. So just going back to the drawing board, and if you had made some previous sales at better prices, you know, factor that in. But to see this old crop corn or beans, you know, it would take a lot in a short amount of time to realistically get back to levels that we saw. So being on top of it here on recovery bounces, which I think you'll see, but there might be those marketing opportunities to finish up if folks are still hanging on to what they have on old crop.
So Sherman, when we think about fall beans, and you know, November finished at what, 1141 and a half. So USDA take a quick look. Is it 1140 for their season's average cash price? That's not going to happen, at least not at the moment. And so I can recall the first time we popped over $11 or thereabouts, and it was go ahead, make a sale. Might, if that's the worst one for the year, that's a good deal. Hopefully, producers have been making sales along the way. Where should they put their range at this point? And if they need to make catch up sales, particularly, where should they put their range down? What kind of marker level are you thinking about?
I mean, just 2 days ago, we were up over 1174. I think if you can get back up in that area, that shouldn't be that difficult at all to make that happen. I mean, that was an old high that we had back in the middle of March. So that could be, you know, an area of support or resistance to take a look at. And I think, you know, we can retrace some of that. So in 1175, I mean, it's going to struggle to get back up above 12, in my opinion, without some help from China, you know, coming in and maybe surprising us and buying. And that doesn't have to be beans, but maybe they come in and buy wheat, or maybe they buy corn here sometime this summer. But you don't forget, I mean, we got the acreage numbers that'll be coming out eventually. Those are probably going to show a little bit higher bean acres. So that's going to be a little bit of a negative. But we got the whole summer of weather, and you know, month of August can be pretty brutal for some areas, as far as yield goes. So I do think we'll have some scares. But, you know, before that, maybe the market wants to continue to liquidate and we go back down to that, you know, low 1110 area in the short term and find some support. I hope we don't, but we might have to.
There's probably a lot of time, Shane, for the soybean market to think about dry weather and scares, potentially, particularly in the U.S., because we won't really worry too much about them until we get to the month of August. Corn, on the other hand, we'll watch June, certainly. By the time we get to July, we'll be thinking a lot about it. Why don't you transition us into corn and what you're thinking as it's related to the new crop there?
Yeah, as I mentioned, it sounds to me, you know, that well, certainly in Iowa, the majority of Iowa, things got planted under pretty ideal conditions early. You know, people were getting a little impatient because of wetness early on, but in respect to the calendar, things were certainly planted in a timely fashion. We've gotten some rains in the western half of Iowa, starting to get a little drier there in the eastern half of Iowa. But, you know, early in June is probably an okay time for it to be dry, you know, as it goes back. But, you know, I was talking with a customer this morning, and, you know, it's going to be really hard, I think, in June to cry wolf if it gets rains, because if we reflect back to not necessarily so much last year, but the 2, 3, even 4 years prior, you know, we talked about how darn dry it was the entire summer, and then continued to grow our best crop, followed by our best crop. And so I think, you know, that we've become a little bit numb to the fact, or they've become a little bit numb to the fact in Chicago of dry weather, until it it has really shown up. And so I do agree here on these bounces. I think we need to be on the offensive for pricing new crop corn.
And where would you do that at?
If we look at the December 26th, I do think we probably have a little bit of downside just to follow through here to find some some support. If I'm looking to start layering things in, certainly if I haven't made any sales, these ranges are pretty small, but I'm probably looking at that 460 to 465 area to get started, 475 to continue trucking along there. I think would be the two places that I'd be eyeing here. I don't think that December board today without any real concrete evidence of a drought has much of a reason to probably go past that 485 area.
Logan, when you talk to producers, what are they telling you about the conditions of their fields across the Midwest? And I know today they probably were very worried and your discussions were mostly about calming folks down. But how do they manage their risk, in your opinion, going forward?
The first part, pretty well widespread. Folks got the crop in pretty good, really, without a lot of issues. There's some problems out east. Folks in Ohio struggled a little bit, but generally speaking, that there were not large areas of planting disruptions. And to pair that with, I think that's part of the last 10 days of liquidation in the markets is just no weather problem or threat right now up until this point. And so nobody likes this price action at all, and it can be very frustrating for producers to see another day where the markets, especially in the beans, sizable red bars to the downside. But I think when we see where we're at here, different from the old crop, but looking at this new crop with a little more time, this is an opportunity to go back to the drawing board and look at what you got in the ground, what you got priced on new crop up until this point, what you're expecting to have, and put targets in. I agree with targets, in that 470 range on bounces. I think having orders in, if we see China step in and buy, say, corn or wheat, or we see weather set in around the next month to, August timeframe, and you do have a little bit of a threat, you could see this corn market back on quite a bit in a short amount of time. You could work back up to levels that might not seem realistic right now. That could happen quick, but I think having orders in to make cash sales, if we do see a quick couple few day pops and you get those orders placed or sales made, I think right now that's the best plan to have. I don't think this is an area you go in and do a bunch of marketing after the break we've already had. I think you let the market try to find a bottom here. And like I said, put targets in that make sense for your operation at levels you could be profitable and manage those throughout the next 2 to 3 months. Because I do think we've seen a lot of money flow from the funds stay in the long side of these grains, but most recently peel back out. They can move in and out. And I think if you saw a China headline come across or purchases or weather, they might want to step back in and give your marketing opportunities back to the farmer. So that would be what to do at this point or plan to put together on the new crop. And for the beans, same as well. We saw the bean market November new crop hold a pretty steady trend all throughout the year, really since January. A little concerning that we've broke to the downside the last 2 days out of that trend. But if you do work your way back up and retest the bottom side of that, call it maybe 1170 to 1180, I think those are really reasonable areas to have targets in for new crop beans. It did seem like that $12 range was an area that kind of served as a little resistance. So those are some realistic targets. I think you could go back to the drawing board right now, put together a plan if things change here in the next month or two and we get some weather premium and volatility. I think it'd be wise to have a plan put in place and orders in to make those sales.
Sherman, and Shane, you as well, because you both farm. I'm wondering whether, Sherman, you adjust your projected yields throughout the season, what the crop looks like now, and if you have adjusted it in one direction or the other. And when you do, and you talk to producers in whatever areas, do you also have them consequently change their target prices?
You can change your target prices based on what things are looking like in your area. You know, obviously you got to know, you know, when do you need to move corn and do everything? Do you need to sell it in the fall? Can you wait till January, first year? All those things make a difference in your marketing program. I mean, like here, though, I mean, talk about our farm. We've got two different crops of corn, Todd. I just finished replanting corn for the third time day before yesterday. So I started April 6th. That corn looks beautiful. And I've got corn in the ground that hadn't come up yet. So we've replanted 20% of our corn and 20% of our soybeans in our area. And there's been quite a bit of that in central Illinois, southern Illinois, parts of Indiana. So I do think there's some, you know, the crop isn't perfect out there. I know Iowa finally got everything going and they're getting some rain. And that's all well and good. But there, you know, there's some areas that are not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. Ohio's had too much rain. Now the guys out in Kansas, they finally started getting some rain so they could finish planting corn out there. But they don't have high hopes for, you know, a big yield in that western Kansas area either. So I think there's a lot of time for this market to go back up. I mean, I agree. I don't think the trade's going to bite on a weather scare. You know, so we've had that happen the last few years and it's really went nowhere. We still ended up with really good yields. But, you know, to try to, you know, get anything close to what we did last year, I think is going to be a little bit tougher because maybe not all producers, but some producers have cut back on fertilizer. Some guys may not, because of the cost, some guys may not side dress. There could be some forego, fertilizer or, fungicide for corn and soybeans this year, just to save some dollars. So that may, you know, end up having some effect on yield at some point in time. I think we do have some upside potential from here. I mean, looking back at that December 25 contract, I mean, it really never got below 440. So, I mean, I would watch that area. If it would tend to break down below that, then we might go on down, you know, a little bit lower than that. But let's hope that doesn't happen and we can get some good news and get the market to start to rebound.
And Shane, as I think we talked about before we started the program, I traveled earlier in the week to Kansas and back. It did hurt my heart, I have to admit, to find that the best looking corn that I managed to see between here and Junction City, Kansas, side of the border, and they had just gotten rain and it was tall, relatively speaking, you know, that hip high, or not quite hip high, but mid thigh high out there, and looked nice and green. You are to the west of Dodge City in Iowa.
Todd, west of Fort Dodge, and right on Highway 20, as you said. Locally, things look really good. Spent the last couple days out spraying fence lines. Very pleasantly surprised with how things are. But if you go too far south, people were in the machine shed digging out the rotary hose this year, and there was a ton of acres that got rotary hoed for crusting. You know, things have come around, but I would argue that our bean stands are probably a little bit thin. And depending on who you talk to, they say we're still at 100% of yield potential. So I think folks are pretty optimistic around here. You know, it's really hard. I've learned through the growing season to come in and raise and lower the expectations throughout the year. I've tried that over time, and I tend to really just stick with our folks on our crop insurance guarantee until we get into harvest and we start to know, and then can change that plan from there. Because I think if nothing else, it plays a little bit of that mental mind game of expecting a big crop and it's not there. So I've learned to kind of stick to what we know to start out.
When you're talking to producers, do they ask you many questions about fuel needs and pricing that in for the fall, and or about nitrogen for the 2027 crop?
Yeah, so I mean, nitrogen, you know, has been, I don't know if it's just because of what we went through this spring. Some folks went through that didn't have it booked or fall applied in our neck of the woods. I don't know if that was just a traumatic experience that we've pushed that off. But we haven't really talked about it. And part of the reason is it's tough to get good pricing. No one's really stepping into the market and offering anything up. But diesel, obviously, or fuel as we look forward to fall, tons of questions about it. You know, I would say nearly every producer that I had talked to has taken for granted the relatively stable fuel prices over the past few years and got caught with their shorts down here this spring. And so I think folks are looking for the opportunity to lock some of that in. You know, the local co-op here sent out a flash message on Monday. Hey, we're down 75 cents from the highs. And that got me thinking, man, maybe I should lock some in. And I come to the office the next day and crude oil was up $7 again. And so I do think we're going to look for that opportunity to lock something in. I'm hoping that things, you know, this Iran-U.S. conflict can start to stabilize as we move into the summer and provide an opportunity for guys to lock some fuel in.
I want to look forward, Logan Kimmel, to the June acreage report. Sherman mentioned this already. It's due out at the end of the month. What kind of changes do you think it might show from USDA?
Well, with not a ton of areas that suffered planting disruptions, I don't know. I kind of agree, Sherman. I maybe some more bean acres, slightly. I wonder too if there were some changes made for the folks that did not have fertilizer booked for this year's crop. For in regards to the corn, that maybe made those changes due to the higher prices. So possibly a slight change there would be, you know, my thoughts, just looking at it here today.
Let's get a final word, I think, from each of you now. Sherman Newland from Zahner Ag Hedge, I'll start with you. Your final word for the day?
Yeah, I mean, we've kind of talked about everything. It's a matter of, you know, seeing if this market can rebound and bounce. And I think we all three of us tend to think it will. So you'll have to be, you know, have some orders in. I really do think that's important. You know, have working orders with your elevator or wherever you plan to sell your grain on at least what you can't store in the fall. I mean, if you have on farm storage, you can store, you know, some that's probably good. You can, you know, look to maybe sell that for later on and hold, you know, sell that carry. But I would definitely be working hard on selling crops that you have to take to the elevator in the fall, so you don't have to pay storage on it if we can get, and I think we will. I think we'll get to see some, you know, some rebounds in these prices. But I think, you know, that's your first order of business right now is, you know, work on that, getting some prices in, and, you know, hopefully we can get them hit.
Shane Hultor from Logic Ag in Iowa, your final word for the day?
Yeah, I would tend to agree with that. It's really easy to get down when you watch these markets the way that they've done the last couple of days and get disengaged from the marketing plans. And so I would echo, you know, talk to your broker, talk to your grain buyer, find some price targets, use what the three of us have talked about here today, but get them working because the market can work in your favor when you're least expecting it. And then your emotions are going to get jerked the other way. And so, be prepared.
And finally, Logan Kimmel from Roach Ag out of Woodridge, Illinois, your final word.
Pretty good coverage on the grains here today. Do want to touch on the livestock. Boy, we've got the headlines coming in, screw worms here, and we're seeing large swings in the cattle. I think this serves as a reminder for livestock producers to be prepared. You're in a volatile market. Protect your risk.
on the livestock, especially the cattle. As these headlines roll in, I think it's going to be more volatile, larger daily limits in place now. So you're going to see big swings, and there's a lot of risk on the table. For the hog producers, I think you got to look and see if this is a late seasonal move we might see to the upside. And if you didn't get hedges or sale or, you know, risk in place that we saw back in the spring, there might be an opportunity on some of these August, October, December hog contracts, but be prepared to do so. We saw how fast the money flow in the hog market from the funds went from net long to, you know, pretty close to net neutral. So livestock producers, be mindful of seasonal runs here and protect your downside.
Commodity Week, of course, is a production of Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world, online on demand at willag.org, willag.org. Our thanks go to our panelists this week, including Logan Kimmel from Roche Ag, Sherman Newland with Zahner Ag Hedge, and Shane Holtorf of Logic Ag. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.